start off with a word of prayer, first of all. Father, I thank and praise you for the day now that you've given to us and for the beauty of it. Dear Father, you're the one that makes the weather, and this is the day that you have made, you say in your word, and we're to rejoice and be glad in it, and we praise you for it. We thank you, Father, that you do give us different times of the seasons here, Father, that changes things around. And just lately here, Father, you had painted the places around us here, Father, with the leaves and things like that. And even with the colors that are now there, Father, the ones that are still left there, Lord, it's still painting the mountains and things like that around us. And, Lord, only you can do that, and we thank and praise you for that. We thank you, Father, for your word here now as we go forth here today. We just ask that you would just help us. Lord, we know we need your help. We need you. And we ask that your spirit would just enlighten us through your word here today. We thank you, Father, for it. And, Father, with the service to follow, we just ask that you would just be with the pastor and the message that he has for us, that you would just help to teach us here, Father, the different aspects of your word, and, Father, that we could draw closer to you and then we know more about you. We thank and praise you for all things now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've been going over some of the different women of the Bible, and we're going over the family, and we did the men, and now we're going over the women, and then comes the children. But we've just been going over some of the women of the Bible that sort of were a little wicked, but today we're going over one that I think is the most wicked one that there ever was, that was born, or whatever you want the case may be. So go to 1 Kings chapter 16. Ladies, I'm going to start it off this way. Do you think that you have influence over men? Why are you looking like that there, Van? Corby was shaking the head of his wife.
Anyway, get
what do you think, ladies? Do you have influence over men?
Sometimes.
Okay. Anybody else want to hit that? Try that? You do? Okay. Well, you know, I'm not saying that you don't, but we're going to be looking at one today that didn't back away, but that, you know, you are right. I believe that ladies have an influence over men. I think that there's some different verses in the Bible. Let me just read one here. I wasn't going to go this way, but I'm going to do it anyhow here. Let me just read this to you. This is 1 Kings chapter 11 and 1-4. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Zidonites, Hittites, and of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Do you think that all them women had an influence on him? I believe that they did, because it says that they changed his heart. They turned his heart. Well, 1 Kings chapter 16 here, verse 29. We'll start right there. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omar to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omar reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omar did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Now here it's saying that he's a wicked king, And he's wicked, more wicked than any of the other kings that were before him. And we know the reason why here. And it came to pass, verse 31, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonites, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now, if you don't think he didn't have an, she didn't have an influence on him, it says in verse 32, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. She had an influence on him. He wanted to please her. Men, you want to please your wives, don't you? But you don't want to please them this way, you know. And this is what he wanted to do. He had a new wife here. He wanted to please her. Now, she was from the Phoenician city of Tyre, and her father was a high priest, and he ended up being a king in that Phoenician city there. She worshipped the god Baal, and he tried to please her by building up this house or made a temple of Baal for her. And this promoted idolatry throughout all Israel. And not only did she have an influence on him and changing his heart, she changed the heart of the people of Israel also. Now, you talk about a woman that had power, if you want to call it. She had it. All the other women that we looked at here, this was the sixth one. All the other ones, they weren't nothing compared to what this woman was. And she was... She was very wicked. As a matter of fact, it's funny how things happen. Do you know, I mean, I have nothing to do with any of this. This is just something that I heard. What do you think was the most famous costume this Halloween?
Frozen.
Huh?
Frozen.
the most famous costume they had was Jezebel. I heard that on the radio and I thought, isn't that something? I'm studying her and here they come up and say that. Like I say, I don't got nothing to do with Halloween or anything like that, costumes or anything like that. It means nothing to me. But to hear that and to think about that, And just some of the aspects of it, it's unreal. But here she is. She comes. She serves Baal. He sets up a house, a temple for her, you know, that she could worship, and all the aspects of it. Now, instead of worshiping the true God, which Ahab should have been following after, he followed after his wife. She had an influence on him, and she worshiped Baal. Now, Baal was a popular Canaanite god, and Baal idols that were made, they said, were made of a bull's head and the shape of a bull, representing strength and fertility and reflecting lust for power and sexual pleasure. Now, that's what the worship of Baal was all about. Now, can you imagine? How would you like to worship something like that? And it was zero. It's nothing. It wasn't the true God. It was a zero. It was nothing. Just like these Muslims and all these people around you today, what do they worship? They think that they're worshiping the true God, which they don't know who the true God is. They are worshiping a zero. And they think of the different aspects of getting killed, that they'll have all these virgins and all this and that when they die. Isn't it something? Wouldn't you just have... Of course, though, it wouldn't matter if one of them did come back and tell the rest of them, you know, hey, this isn't true. I'm in hell. I'm in a place that's burning constantly. It's hot. I'm in a deep, dark pit. But they wouldn't believe them anyhow. So they wouldn't. But that's what they're worshiping. And this is just exactly what she worshiped. She worshiped nothing. All she did was turn his heart and the children of Israel's heart to worship this Baal, you know. And it was mainly for the flesh. The lust of the flesh is what it was all about. The whole aspect of it. Verse 33, and it says, and Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now, can you imagine something said about you like that? And this is what the Word of God says about him, that he did. Okay, now we're going to be skipping around here a little bit today because I'm going through Jezebel and what some of the things that she did. Chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Let me start at verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. See, there were still some people that feared the Lord, and there was, as you see here, what he did. It says, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. You see how she hated the Lord? She got cut off the prophets. She killed the prophets. And it says here that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in caves and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of the water and unto the brooks. Preadventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we may lose not all the beasts. He sent an Obadiah out to find water for all their animals because of the dryness of the land and stuff. There was no rain for quite a few years. And it was because of the sin of Ahab, you know. And Elijah was part of this thing, and he was supposed to go and find this here. But in the meantime, I'm going to try to keep this here as quick as I can here. Let me read it, verse 7. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him and knew him, and he fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and the nation, and they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it came to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come to tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. So that's what he does. You know, he tells Elijah this, but Elijah is here because Elijah has a job to do. He's going to contest these evil prophets of Baal that's here. Verse 16, so Obadiah went near Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? He's saying to Elijah, the prophet of God, aren't you the one that troubleth Israel? No, it's not him. It's Ahab himself, you know, for following the sins of this woman that he married, you know, and worshiping Baal and all this. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. So, and now therefore send and gather me to all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400, and which eat at Jezebel's table. Do you see that? Where are these prophets getting all their information? They're sitting at Jezebel's table. She's the one that's telling them what to do, how to do it, and everything else. And these prophets, all these prophets, are following after her. You know, they sit at her table. Now, these are her prophets, quote unquote. But things happen here, and she gets a little upset about it. Let me see here. Where do I want to go? How far am I here? Let's go on here. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay wood, and put no fire under it. Well, you know the account. I'm not going to go over it here. They carried on all day long trying to get their God to come and do something with this. These here pieces that they cut of this here oxen and stuff, this bullock and stuff in pieces, and he's saying to them, you know, let fire come down from heaven, and to burn it up. And they cut themselves. They do all kinds of crazy stuff, but their God never answers. And so the only thing that I don't understand on this, the pastor's not here. I'd like to put him under the knife sometimes, you could say. But Elijah here, he comes and he tells them, go get water and dump this water. Now, there was a famine there. Everything was dry. I don't know where he got the water. But he had water running all over this here sacrifice that he made here. And it said that he just filled this trough with water, you know, and everything was water. And fire, and he called on to the Lord his God, and fire came down from heaven and consumed it. And this opened the eyes of the people. And he ends up killing all these here 450 prophets. Well, I bet you can't guess who this didn't suit. Her name was Jezebel. She was madder than a hornet because Ahab went and told her what happened. Let me see where I see that. Verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 1. That's where I want to go to next. Verse 1 and 2. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She said she's going to kill him. Now, she has terrific influence over him. And she's the one here that is the one that you might as well say is running the country. Because Ahab isn't. He don't have enough of guts to stand up to her. Because I'll show you that here in a minute, why I think that. But anyhow, she said she's going to kill him, you know. And Elijah, he's scared, so he runs for his life. And he takes off here in chapter 19, and he goes. And he's trying to get away from her. God speaks to Elijah, and verse 10 there, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword, and I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Well, God says, you're not the only one left. You know, there's more prophets in the land. He lets them know that. But Elijah, you know, he's scared. He's running for his life at this particular time. Let me see here. 1 Kings. Oh no, that's 2nd. Okay, so that's what happens and takes place here with that. Now, like I say, she was very idolatrous. She was an idolatrous daughter of an idolatrous king. You know, she followed after her dad. Where do you think that she learned this stuff? Her parents. You see what for influence that you have on kids? Young couples, you have an influence on them. She had an influence on her from her father and mother. They taught her to worship this Baal. And you see what she did because of this. She went out here and she changed the heart of a king of Israel and the hearts of the people. Now, that's just what one person can do, you see. Now, We're going to be talking about some of that stuff when we get into this the children stuff here, and I know some of you can't wait, but just hang loose. I have a few more lessons here that I want to do with the ladies yet, and then we're going to get into the children. But I'm going to have a week or so off because I have so much information that I got to put together, and I just can't do it overnight. So I'm going to be asking a couple of you to take over here a little bit while I put this information together. But I have so much stuff on that, but it's soon coming. So just be patient. Be patient with me. I knew this was going to take a while, but it's soon coming. But anyhow, like I say, this is an influence that she had from her parents. And she had no problem practicing this openly. I mean, this was nothing. Look at today, at the day that you live in. There's so much stuff that was, you know, back when I was being raised, if you heard of a homosexual or a lesbian, that wasn't a very good thing. Matter of fact, when I was in the service, if we ever heard of anybody like that, they got what was called a blanket party. Now, some of you know what a blanket party is, some of you don't, but it wasn't very nice, let me tell you that. That's all I'll say about it. But anyhow, look how they practice it openly now. Look at, you know, just all the garbage that's around you from them, you know, and some of the things that they try to pull. And even just because the pastor put something in the paper about it, how that they've been responding to him, if you've been reading the Center Daily Times. And, you know, the devil likes to work. And he would love to tear this church apart. And it could be something just like this here that he would try to do it. So you better be praying. And you better be praying hard because he can do it. But, you know, if the Lord's behind it, he's gonna stand up for us. There's no doubt about it. But what I'm saying here is, you know, that she practiced this openly. And think there's so much stuff that's going on today. The second coming's got to soon be, or the rapture of the church has got to soon be coming with everything, the wickedness that's happening here today. But anyhow, she did everything to persecute the true religion. Whatever she had to do, she would do it, you know. And she did it, you know, with this worship of Baal. She had stuff set up all over the place for people to worship this Baal and that, you know. And she did hideous and cruel thing and cruelty to put to death the prophets and priests of God. And she did that. She had these prophets put to death. And all this she did with the most zealous and preference and relentless cruelty. You know, she was one of the most wicked women that there is in the Bible, you know. And it's even referred to back in Revelation about her, you know, some of her wickedness and stuff, which I have some verses that we're going to be reading on that when we get here. So this is just some of the things that she did here that I'm pointing out here and showing you how she had an influence over her man and then over some of the different things here that happened and took place. Now, 1 Kings chapter 21. Here you see it. You know the account, but here you're going to see it. Here's what I'm talking about. Chapter 21, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. He inherited this. And that meant something back then. I mean, that was something in these times where that when they lived, if it was an inheritance that was given to you, you just didn't get up and get rid of it. You know, you kept it. You tried to keep the name flowing, if you want to call it, this generation, that generation. You read some of the things here about generations after generations, and that's what it's talking about, to keep that name going. King David, look at it. Generation, Solomon, from him on down, you know, the Bible speaks of King David because he was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, he sinned. We went over that. But God forgave him of sin. Did he pay for it? Oh, yeah, big time he paid for it. But yet, you know, yet God kept his name from generation to generation. And that's what it was all, that's what this was all about. This inheritance that he had, he inherited this vineyard and it belonged to him. And it was his father's, and it came down, it says, of my father's unto thee. So it wasn't just his father, it was grandfather, great-grandfather, and so on, wherever it started, you know. So it was an inheritance that was given. It was something that was very important to Naboth, and that's why he didn't want to sell it, take another one, or anything. Well, verse 4, and Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father's. And he laid down upon his bed and turned away his face and would not eat bread. This gets me. This just gets me. We've all had children. How many of you have had your one of your children take and kind of just, you know, lower their lip and they sobbed around? Don't look at him, Corb. And they just, you know, they were just acting like a child. They did not get their way, and so they were really very upset about it, and they pouted and carried on. Now, you've all gone through that. You know what I'm talking about. You see it. Here's a grown man, a king of a kingdom, acting like a child. He's pouting, you know. He didn't get his way, you know. Oh, I didn't get my... And some of them throw tantrums and things like that there, you know. They don't get their way. I work with a lady that, they just laid her off, thank the Lord. But she has three girls, and they're to her first husband. Her second husband don't want nothing to do with them. And I don't even understand why she even got into the marriage because of this, but he knew what he was getting into. But her second child gives her problems all the time, and she throws temper tantrums and stuff, and all she's looking for is attention. Well, they keep thinking that it's mental. But the funny part about it is she's from Louisiana, and she took her, her mother told her, she said, send her down to me. She was down with her mother. And when she came home after 6 months, guess what? She didn't throw no temper tantrums. She didn't do nothing. She was good for 2.5 years. Now, what does that tell you? Is that mental? Because mother took care of the problem. She said they're allowed to take a switch off a tree down there and take care of problems. And her mother took care of the problem. Well, now she's home here. And the other night, she threw a temper tantrum so bad because she wanted black hairspray so that they could go out trick-or-treating, and her mother wouldn't let her buy it. And she sat in the middle of Walmart on the floor and said she wasn't moving, and finally she convinced her, and when they got home, she threw one of her temper tantrums, and she was going to take pills and kill herself. She had a knife and everything else, so she called the cops because she didn't know what else to do. And when the cops walked in the door, the girl was fine. But she knew, her mother said, you're going someplace. And the cops finally called the 911 for the ambulance, and they took her clear out to Du Bois to a mental hospital. Well, she's out there now in there. They think it's a mental problem. I mean, how would you handle a situation like that? I'm just saying that to you. I want you young couples to think about that. I want you older couples to think about that. How would you handle a situation like that? Because I'm going to bring that forth to you when we start talking about the children. You think about that. How would you handle that situation? Is it a mental problem? But you think about it. But anyhow, here you have this woman here, and here you have, well, if that's a mental problem, this is a mental problem with Ahab too, because he's throwing a temper tantrum. That's exactly what he's doing. He's doing nothing but that, you know. I can't have this vineyard, you know, so I'm not going to eat bread, you know, and that's what he's doing here. Verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said unto me, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now, here's where I'm telling you. He's not running the kingdom. She is. Because she said, I'm going to give it to you. You know, just get, eat, drink, be merry, have no fear. I'm going to take care of it. You know, she's going to do this. This is what she's going to do. She's going to take care of this whole situation, so she is. So she says she is, anyhow. Let me read a verse here to you. Proverbs 6:26 says, For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. She's going to run him down, and that's what she's doing here. She's running him down, you know. She does all this stuff. Now, here's the thing on this. So she said, I'm going to give this to you. Verse 8, and she wrote letters unto Ahab in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal. Now, where did she get his seal? I mean, she's writing this letter in the king's name. She has a seal. She's going to seal it with this seal. So it means whatever it says in there, that's what has to be done. You know. We just studied some people. Can you remember anybody else that wrote a letter? Did David write a letter and give it to Uriah? And he carried his own death penalty. That was with the king. That was a king's letter. His own death penalty. Almost the same thing here. And she does this here. You watch. She does this with subtlety. And the devil did subtlety with Eve the same way, practically. Watch how she does this. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed it with a seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling in Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast. Now, wait a minute. Baal, you worshiping Baal, you don't proclaim fast. She's doing this in the color of religion right now. See how subtle she is? Proclaim a fast, she says, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. So she does this in the color of justice. You see that? Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. She don't worship God. She worships Baal. You see what I'm talking about here? She does it. She's real subtle about it. You know, she knows how to work the people. A woman like this can work them. She can work men. She can work anybody, you see. She works these kind of things. She does these kind of things. In the name of religion and in the name of justice, she does these. Dan, would you go to Proverbs 14:30? Let me go to this other one here. Proverbs 14:30. Yeah.
A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones.
She's trying to do everything here. And what I was saying about the letters with David, that was the other one I was going to read there, but I already passed that. But anyhow, she's rotten to the bones, as far as I care. She is the wicked, very wicked. And you see what she's trying to do. She does this in the color of religion. She does it in the color of justice. You know, she's getting all these people to get on her side. You know, but they think it's the king because she sent it in the king's letter and she sealed it with the king's. And she says there, and it says, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Was there any justice in this, do you think, at all? Verse 11, it says, and the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she sent unto them. So she gets two men to say these things against Naboth in the name of religion, in the name of justice, you know. Well, he blasphemed God and the king. You know, he deserves to die. And all it is a lie. All it is a lie. Some of this justice system today is a lie, too, as far as I care. But I guess I better shut up. But anyhow, there's just so much stuff that goes on here today, you know, that it's unreal. It's unreal. You know, there's nothing right, anything right about it. Well, so it says in verse, so these guys did what she told them to do. So in verse 12, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. And they carried him out forth of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. I like here how, you know, the Bible has, I don't know what your Bible has in it, but mine has a capital G for God, but a little K for king. It's not recognizing that he is a king because of his wickedness that he allowed this woman to do. So, verse 15, and it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take the possession of thy vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, and Naboth is not alive but dead. Now, I want you to think about something. Naboth is dead, but you know who's next in line to get the inheritance? Anybody want to guess? Ben?
It's his children.
Yeah.
Isn't there somewhere where they killed them too?
Yes. Well, let me see if I can. I have it written down here. I'm not sure which one it is. Yes, they killed his children. She had his children killed too. I think it's in 2 Kings chapter 9, which we're going there anyhow. But Second Kings chapter 9, verse 26 says, surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, and saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plot, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him out in the plat of the ground according to the word of the Lord. You see, she had his sons killed too, so that nobody could claim this land except Ahab. You think that she was a dummy? No way. This woman was smart. She wasn't no dummy at all. She knew that once Naboth was dead, the children could claim the inheritance. So have the children killed too. She had no heart whatsoever. Now, men, how would you like to have a helpmeet like this? You think about it. You think about it. She rules and reigns. She'll get you whatever you want. Boy, isn't that something? Wouldn't you love to have something like that? I wouldn't. First of all, I'd probably be fighting with her all the time, constantly. But, my wife fights with me all the time, so. Ha-ha. I'm one up on the pastor. Mrs. Johnson, I'm up for that Golden Shovel Award. Go ahead. Athaliah? I'm not positive on that. Yeah. And I'm not sure when that was. I just did read that not too long ago. Could be. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, anyhow. Well, she had sons, too, and Jehu killed her one son. And then, well, that's what we're going to get into here. But she had children, so she did. I didn't even think she had any children at first, as wicked as she was, but she did have some children. So she has him killed. She tells the king, King Ahab, to go ahead and just take this vineyard, you know, because everybody's gone. It belongs to him now. Children and everybody she killed, you know. Verse 19, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and hast taken the possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, the dog shall lick the blood even thine. This is right after this, the word of the Lord came to light. Well, I should read verse 17 here. After she tells him to take the, and the word of the Lord came to Elisha the Tishbite, saying, Elijah the Tishbite, arise and go and meet Ahab the king, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he goeth down to possess it. And thou shalt say unto him, now he's going down to possess this vineyard. Get this, I want you to get this here in your mind. And Elijah meets him. And he meets him, and this is what he's supposed to say. Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed also and taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to do work in the sight of the Lord. And behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy prosperity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. That's very interesting to look up and to see about. I mean, that's exactly what happens. But it's interesting to see about about these dogs that eat this and some of the things about that. Now, maybe I'll go over that for you. We'll see. But it says in verse 24, and he that dieth of Ahab in the cities, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field, the fowls of the air eat. One thing I'll say about that with the dogs. They said that she, Jezebel, in her rituals, used to dance around on her fours like a dog and shake her head like a dog. And when we go over this and read this, you'll see that all that's left when they go to bury her is her skull, her palms of her hands, and her feet. Very interesting. It's all very interesting. But anyhow, that's all I'm going to say about that for now. Verse 25, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abundantly in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house. You see here what happens and takes place. This evil is brought upon him, it is going to be brought upon him, but It doesn't happen and take place to him. But 2 Kings chapter 10, 6 and 7 says, this here is Jehu. And it says, then he wrote a letter the second time to them, saying, if ye be mine, and if ye will hearken unto my voice, take ye the heads of the men of your master's sons, this is Ahab's sons, and come to me to Jezreel by morning this time. Now the king's sons, being 70 persons, were with great men of the city which brought them up. And it came to pass, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's sons and slew 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent them to Jezreel. What God said was going to happen, and it happened. He didn't bring this evil upon Ahab, but he brought it upon his sons. So you see, this didn't pay at all for him to follow after Jezebel, his wife, but he did. I still have stuff to do on this, and it's time to quit. You got questions or comments, I'll bring it up next week. There's some stuff I really want to read to you, especially about Jezebel, but I just couldn't get into it today. Any questions or comments on her, her wickedness and the things that she did? And like I said, she was one of the wickedest ladies in the Word of God for some of the stuff that she did. Okay, Father, I thank and praise you for this time. We thank you, Father, for your Word. We thank you, Father, for showing us just some of the aspects of some of these women here that's in your Word, and some of the wickedness that they did, and the influence that they have over their men, and how especially Jezebel here really tore down her man, and he wanted to please her, and he pleased her by building a temple for her to worship Baal, and then turning the hearts of the children of Israel also. And so, Father, we see the wickedness of this woman here. We just ask, Lord, that we would learn in your Word some of the different aspects of this, that we follow after you and nobody else. We just ask that you would just help us through this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.